We'll turn again to Job chapter 19. And in verse 28, Job can respond to his critics and detractors. And he can say, the root of the matter is found in me. The root of the matter is found in me. Job, of course, endured a great trial of affliction in the loss of his substance, posterity, his health, and the confidence of his wife. All that you and I hold dear and find comfort in, Job lost it. His sorrows were compounded by the wounds inflicted by his friends, those miserable comforters that gathered around him. They vexed his soul. They broke him in pieces with words. Again and again, we see in verse 3, 10 times they wounded him to the heart with their hard speeches. They interpreted all that came Job's way as the judgment of God, retribution on his sin. Bildad, in particular, maintained that Job did not have a genuine, a true, a right relationship with God. Job, broken, crushed, overwhelmed by everything that came his way. In verse 10, he says, God hath destroyed me on every side, and I am gone, and mine hope hath he removed like a tree. He paints the image of his life and circumstances in a tree that is torn up by the roots. When Job recovered himself, he spoke up again in his own defense. He used the same image, and with all certainty and assurance, he can say in the words of our text in verse 28, the root of the matter is found in me. He made it clear to those persecutors that he was not living out the life of an empty professor. The root of the matter of true godliness was in his heart. He belonged to the Lord. He was rooted and grounded in him. How many in this congregation this evening can make the same confession as Job? The root of salvation, of spiritual life, is in you. Christ is in you of a truth. You see, this is the primary thing. It is the one thing that is needful for us all. Without the root of salvation, your soul will be bound up with the tares and consigned to the eternal flames of hell. Oh, how important to be able to reiterate with Job, the root of the matter is found in me. Now let us consider three things from the text. First of all, the meaning of the root of the matter. What does Job mean? What is he driving at when he uses this term? In a discussion after some time, one of the participants may say, let us get down to the root of the matter. Meaning, let us get to the vital point, the heart, the essential part of the debate. And a root is absolutely vital to the life of the tree. It is just a dried up piece of timber if it is rootless. It can be a tree of a kind without branches. And at certain seasons of the year, it may be a tree without leaves. But it cannot be a tree without roots. Job, in answering his accusers, Bildad in particular, who thinks that he is just an empty professor, he is able to say that is not the case. The root of the matter is in me. Job is maintaining, I have a vital relationship. I have a true knowledge of God. In 1 Kings chapter 14 and the verse 13, we read about Abijah, the young son of King Jeroboam. 1 Kings chapter 14 and verse 13. Abijah, the verse is speaking of him, and all Israel shall mourn for him and bury him. For he only of Jeroboam shall come to the grave, because in him there is found some good thing toward the Lord God of Israel in the house of Jeroboam. The root of a good matter, in other words, is found in the heart of this boy. There's the root of good inclinations, good desires, good intentions in Abijah. He has a heart for the worship of the true and the living God. He treats with abhorrence his father's gods, those idols that Jeroboam's heart was entwined around in Bethel and Dan. Abijah, he alone of Jeroboam's house, will be honored with a proper burial. The rest, their remains, will be thrown to the fowls of the air and to the dogs in the streets of the city. There is found some good thing toward the Lord God of Israel in the heart of Abijah. The root of the matter is in him. As far as Job is concerned, just like Abijah, there is found in him some good thing toward the Lord God of Israel. The full meaning of what Job is driving at in our text is before us in verse 25. He can say, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth." Oh, here is Job's testimony, crystal clear, his testimony to the fact that his trust for his soul's salvation is in the only Redeemer. Though living in the obscurity of his time, Job looked forward to Calvary, and he saw in his mind's eye Christ purchasing the redemption of his people. And by faith as a sinner, he trusted him as his Redeemer. So all Job's dependence and trust for his soul's salvation, it is fixed in the Redeemer, in the Lord Jesus. The word for Redeemer was used under the law for the next of kin who had the right to buy back his brother's land. We see that in Leviticus chapter 25 and the verse 25. Leviticus chapter 25, verse 25. If thy brother be waxen poor and hath sold away some of his possession, and if any of his kin come to redeem it, then shall he redeem that which his brother sold. The next of kin, he paid the price. He bought back what had been sold. And the Bible tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ was made like unto ourselves. He became the God-man, near of kin to us. Our heavenly inheritance was lost by sin. We had forfeited a right relationship with God. We were separated, cut off from God. But Christ, our kinsman redeemer, he paid the price of our soul's redemption. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30, it speaks of what we have in Christ. He has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. He is the only redeemer of sinners. Ephesians 1 verse 7 spells it out when it says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of his grace. This is the root of the matter, to know the Lord as your own redeemer. The root is the hidden part of the tree. The gospel that touches the hidden man of the heart is the vital thing. Many have the outward forms of religion. They have their prayers, the repetition. They have a church connection. They have perhaps Sabbath observance and so on. They are just as the leaves. The tragedy is that the root of the matter of spiritual life is not in the heart. Without the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart by faith, you must die in your sin. And the Lord Jesus made it clear, if you die in your sin, where I am, ye cannot come. Can you say with certainty, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness? I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. So we see here the meaning of the root of the matter. But then secondly, we see the manifestation of the root of the matter. The root is that hidden part, but it manifests the reality of its presence. And there is no such thing as the root of the matter of true godliness being in you and it not being seen. God saw into the life of Abijah, and he saw that there was some good thing in him toward himself. You can tell whether the root of the matter is within by its manifestations. The root stabilizes. What is it that keeps the mighty oak fixed where it is during the raging storm? The root stabilizes it. And so if you've got the root of the matter fixed and you're anchored in Christ, the solid rock, when temptations come, you resist them. When the world presents its pleasures which are only for a season, in the same spirit as Moses, you turn from them, for you have found the path of life. David said in Psalm 112 and verse 7, my heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. The root stabilizes. It stimulates. When, what is it that arouses the tree from the slumber of winter? That sends the sap coursing through the branches. It's the roots. There are new buds, shoots and leaves and growth. It's the roots that stimulates the tree to grow. And when the root of the matter is in your heart, you will be alive unto God. It's expressed this way in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verses 5 onwards. Give diligence to add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, to patience godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here's the image painted of the tree of the one who is rooted in Christ going on. It's written of David that he went on growing and going. Paul has this desire for the Christians at Ephesus in Ephesians 4 and verse 15, that they may grow up in him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Are you going on with God, growing up in spiritual stature in him? And then we can say that the root searches. The roots search in every direction through the soil for the particular minerals, the food that the tree thrives on. They go out in every direction searching for food. Is the root of the matter within? Are you searching the scriptures daily for treasures old and new? Going through your Bible, searching for Christ, longing to feed on him who is the bread of life? Do you know something of the experience of the bride when she said of the bridegroom in the Song of Solomon chapter 3 and verse 4, I held him and would not let him go. Her search ended when she found the one whom her soul loved, her all in all. And since the root searches, it supplies the tree with all the vigor and vitality that it needs for its foliage and fruitfulness. In Hosea chapter 14 and verse 8, Ephraim can say, I am like a green fir tree. And then the Lord responds, from me is thy fruit found. It's from the Lord, the true vine, that our fruitfulness flows. On the branches of that true vine, the Lord looks for fruit, more fruit, much fruit. In some degree and measure are these manifestations of the root of the matter in evidence in your life. Are the marks of a heart renewed right with God, grafted into Christ, present in you? If they are, then you are a tree of the Lord's planting, a tree of righteousness. If these manifestations are absent, then the signs are there pointing to the fact that your heart is not right with God and that you need the new birth. You need the Lord as your Savior. And that brings us to the last point for consideration, the must of the root of the matter. Job, as we have pointed out, brings us to the vital thing, the essential thing, the one thing that is needful, the very sum and substance of real, genuine Christianity. It is trust, personal faith in the Lord Jesus, the only Redeemer. Whatever else you might have a most orthodox creed. You might have a most exemplary life and the highest virtue. None of those things can make up for the absence of a saving knowledge of Christ. Paul gave an account of his preaching to the Jews and the Greeks. And what was the message? In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 23, he declares, "We preach Christ crucified." He preached to get his hearers to the cross, not to the crucifix, but to trust in the finished work. A young lad was in London, in unfamiliar territory. He was lost. He went up to the police officer and he said, "Officer, get me to Charing Cross. If you get me to the cross, I can find my way home." You see, it is the way of the cross that leads to our heavenly home. It was the sight of the crucified Christ that put the root of the matter in the dying thief. He cried out in confession of his sin, in brokenness of heart and spirit, in repentance, "Lord, remember me. Lord, save me." His prayer was heard. The Lord Jesus said, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." And in an instant, without his church or religion or any works of his, in an instant he was saved. And salvation is a must. You must be saved. And Christ is the only name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Dearer than all that the world can impart was the message that came to my heart. How Jesus alone for my sin did atone. And Calvary covers it all. Calvary covers it all. My past with its sin and stain. My guilt and despair the Lord Jesus took on him there. And Calvary covers it all. May that be your testimony too. May you be able to affirm with Job, the root of the matter is found in me. Do not rest until that is true of you and you have the blessed assurance, "It is well with my soul." Let us unite our hearts in prayer. Our loving eternal Father, how we praise thee for the faithfulness of our Lord Jesus Christ. We know, Lord, that thou wast found faithful in things pertaining to God, and in making reconciliation for the sins of the people. We know that our iniquities, our hell-deserving sins, were laid on Thee, and our debt by Thee was paid, and all who believe, trust in Thee, have everlasting life. Oh, we pray that this night there will be a work done in the heart of the hearer, and grant our Father that none will leave without Job's confidence and assurance. Pray, Lord, that everyone in this gathering will be able to affirm before Thee, "It is well with my soul." Oh, bless Thy word to us, we pray, and help us, Lord, to serve Thee in this evil day. Help us, Lord, to trim our lamps and to be burning brightly amidst the darkness. Lord, we know that Paul could say of those Christians in Philippi that they were to be as luminaries in the darkness of their time. O Lord, help us to hold forth the word of life and the light of Thy truth. Bless Thy word to us, we pray, in the Savior's name. Amen. We will join in singing the hymn number 250. The hymn number 250, please. "Whosoever heareth, shout, shout the sound. Send the blessed tidings all the world around. Spread the joyful news wherever man is found. Whosoever will may come." If you're in spiritual need in this service, you are among the whosoever, and you may come. Do not procrastinate. Come this very hour.